Yeah, let's go sideways.
Yeah, I've done that quite some time ago.
Whenever we're ready.
All right, let me, a little less glare. Yeah, we're still, I'm still baking my head with that other light. You're not supposed
to. that's supposed to bake your head.
All right, no, it's there we go.
Oh yeah, we're live. We'll do it live.
All right,
welcome everybody.
Hi,
it's nice to see. It's been a little while.
Oh, it has been. They've had the radio group that I work for here in Kansas City had me pretty busy. I'm also a radio engineer. You know, I help keep them plugged in, and if they can hear them in Del Rio, they're happy with me. So I'm going to remove my glasses because there we are, my actual peepers. They're getting a bit of glare there from the above lights. Like I say, this studio is located in Belton in my home,
yes.
In a converted garage. So and it's the board that you see. If you go and listen to the Neon Jazz on Radio George, there's a picture of me seated before the control board, which is just on the other. You want to pick it up? Okay.
How do you like that? This will give you kind of a little bit of tour of the studio here.
Yeah, it's an actual broadcast board. You got to focus in on Frank, can you?
Hold on.
Can you get him?
Wait. Yeah. There he is.
Yeah, get a little glare.
Blue eyes. The chairman of the board. Hold on. There we go. We're getting the glare out of his eyes.
Yeah, chairman of the board on what would be your... I can hardly make him out, but then again, that may be my eyesight, having taken my glasses off. Yeah, you got Dino, the Rat Pack, and Sinatra there.
Right there.
All in that picture. Thank you, Tom, very much.
Beautiful.
For that. That has a hallowed place there in my studio.
Absolutely.
Where we can... Us and the rest of the Romeos can don our fedoras and do jazz.
That's right. I am reading, actually, Amanda got me a really good book. It's a bio a journalist wrote on Frank and just his beginnings. And just he had marks on his head from the forceps when he was born. And just his mom was politically, or she was kind of a comedian. His dad was kind of a serious type. But they were talking about all those beginnings, the Italian-American beginnings. He knew Italian in the beginning and just kind of... how he became this guy that towards the end of his life got tired of the media, got tired of the misperceptions of who he was, and kind of reverted back to that place that, you know, is
there were some, he had a great problem with the commercialization of his art form, and whenever Frank went on stage, he usually played great homage to the songwriters that he was singing about, Johnny Mercer. A lot of the other songwriters of the day, Irving Berlin.
Yes.
I couldn't say enough about Cole Porter. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he did a whole album to him once. I just featured on my own show a couple of cuts from the album I Remember Tommy.
Yeah.
Of course, he was in the big band of Tommy Dorsey.
Yeah.
He had first begun with Harry James in the 1930s. But I guess he wasn't getting the kind of share and recognition he wanted. That and Harry wanted to change his name to something a little more commercial.
He wouldn't do it.
He was saying, nope.
But he did sign with Jimmy, and Jimmy was going to take a pretty healthy cut.
Uh-huh.
And somehow he worked himself out of that. But without Jimmy, he wouldn't have gotten to where everybody would have Frank.
Oh, Frank.
Because he kind of hopped around to find the right deal.
And yeah.
Back in the day, it was the band leader that drove the deal, so he had to kind of go along with it. So, and I'm getting my face knocked right here.
Move the.
I thought it was a cat just popping my ear. Like, what are you doing?
So I got a cat. I can get him in here.
Let's get him in here and do it.
He's terrible. He'll walk in here if I leave the door open, and he'll get on the board, and he'll lay on it, and he'll change switches on me. I'll come in here and find it all felined up.
Cool cats love jazz. Speaking of cats, tonight, our album that we're going to throw on here in a second is Mr. Jackie Gleason. And I'm going to let John Christopher talk about kind of Jackie's whole thing. But I will tell you this. I grew up in a household where Jackie Gleason was immortalized, almost theologically so. Our cat
theologically?
He was a deity in our house. My cat growing up was named Chauncey. And that was because my dad loved Ralph Glee, loved the Honeymooners, and the street he grew up on,
Ralph Cranston,
was called Chauncey. And I don't know if you know this, but Jackie Gleason, along with being an actor and being involved with jazz, he was a total nut for like UFOs and alien life forms, and he even contacted Nixon at one point and wanted clarification on it. He wasn't playing games. Straight to the moon, Alice. I'm going to go with you. Jackie Gleason, kids, orchestrating pure magic for all you lovers and even you non-lovers out there.
You probably remember Jackie as, you know, the chief character there in The Honeymooners.
Yes.
But not to forget that he was also a wonderful band leader during the time what was filling a market for what was, at the time, easy listening music. A lot of other bands were to come out of that genre. Later on, like Percy Faith, Henry Mancini. I made the remark here not too long ago that these were old masters in their own way. They had, there he is.
Yeah. That, my friends.
That is the signature trumpet.
That's Don Goldie on trumpet.
Yep.
With rich strings and subtle instrumentational accents. The only way that Jackie knew how to do it.
He took the pop and standards of the day and pretty much did them all this way.
Yeah.
And his albums, that genre of album, sold millions.
He molded a great jazz sculpture.
Yes, he did. Well, I was starting to say that some of the old masters taking their cue off of this market, like Burt Camford, Henry Mancini, Percy Faith, David Rose.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys had the formal music training, and some of them classically trained, even like Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
But they were these old smoothies. Their music just went down like a fine season's cup of coffee.
That's it.
You know, without any dregs at the bottom.
Nothing.
And they were so good that eventually, because of the dissonance of rock and roll, when it started to come on the scene, this stuff sort of faded into the background.
Yeah.
And hence the term background music. And then later, elevator music, because you would hear, I remember hearing versions of the standards done by Herb Alpert, and they all sounded like Herb Alpert.
Yeah.
You know, in the Tijuana Brass. But this, the formulation of the term elevator music made me wonder if Stan Getz and these other guys would have rather taken the steps.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
As opposed to hearing their stuff triple-tongued and butchered in the grocery store aisles.
They were claustrophobic. They didn't want to be in that elevator. They didn't want to be stuck there.
So
one thing I do want to say, and I want to give a good shout-out to Grey Wolf Publishing. Tonight on the show 562, I did a feature, and this is something that we kind of touched on in the show a little bit when we talked about it, the melding of poetry and jazz together, which I find very interesting. In fact, the other night I was out in Lawrence and I caught a good friend of mine, Kevin Rabus, and he is the poet laureate of Kansas, and he was reciting poetry from his new volume. And he's in a band and he was, you know, playing the drums. But there's a temporal nature, there's an artistic quality, the jazz and poetry that I think go together well. And Helen Sung, who's one of the best pianists in jazz today, she teamed up with, I believe, Dana Gioia is the current poet laureate of California. And I just got this book in the mail. I've thumbed through it and his poetry is phenomenal. And he reads excerpts with Helen. They actually met of all places. She's explaining the story to me as kind of a common person, and she's like, we were at the White House, and every time I hear these stories when I'm in interviews, I'm like, okay, you're at the White House, all right, I can't relate, but all right, I'm going with you.
Okay.
I have no idea what that means. Obama's somewhere at the table, you guys are hanging out, you're eating this great meal, and you're just talking poetry and jazz. I would love to join you someday and see if that we could do it. But
I would have settled for fly on the wall.
That's right. Or a fly in the soup. Waiter, there's a fly in my soup.
Well, at least he's a strong swimmer.
That's right. And he's got his salt intake for the day. But at any rate, Dana's a wonderful poet. Helen's a great poet. So let me open that up just a little bit. And you write poetry yourself. What do you think about that melding of jazz and poetry together?
A natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
Even without... you know, music, I've said before, is, to me anyway, is when words fail us.
Yeah.
There's music.
There is always music.
And there are a few people that are skilled enough to take the words and bring forth a music of their own,
yeah.
Prose, but if I'm making any sense here. But the you introduced me to a poet that I really enjoy. I love the guy. Billy Collins.
Wonderful.
Yeah. That man is magic.
He will transform your brain to a place that you had no idea existed.
Yeah.
And you can wander around in there for a while and forget life.
And the wordplay by Billy is music.
It is music.
Yeah.
He builds this invisible world in your brain that these catacombs of joy that you get to kind of trawl up through for a little while. He's a wonderful person. But when I talked to Helen about this, I got her CD. I instantly wanted to talk to her about it because we had an interview before. And she was just ecstatic to talk about it. But she was a little bit nervous because people approached her and said, you're getting involved with two art forms that don't really go good together. It's like the opposite of a Twix. You know, it's like it's something that just doesn't sell well. But if you feel it, like we do with what we do, you got to do it, man. You just got to do it.
You got to. There's a Cat Stevens line from one of his albums. Can't keep it in. Got to let it out.
Gotta let it out. Cat's cradle.
And that's one of the things. I think that's one of the reasons the good Lord gave us music.
Oh,
it had to go somewhere.
It had to go somewhere. And it's the one language we can all understand. And when I hear that story all the time of that USO tour that Louis Armstrong took and those soldiers stopped warring for a day, that right there, if anything, if you boil everything down, that's it. I remember the morning after Kurt Vonnegut died. I remember I was listening to the radio on the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And I was bleary-eyed, waiting to get coffee, and all I heard was Kurt Vonnegut spent his whole life not believing in God, but he said the only reason why he would ever believe in God is because of music.
Yep.
If he was to be at that point. But
I can understand that because there's something higher in music that we can't quite own, but we certainly feel.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That'll make a good bumper sticker.
I like it. I like it. This is our Forrest Gump moment. Take this shirt. It's a smiley face.
A black hole will form right where I sit.
That's right. The Big Bang happened here. Oh, real quick before we get off, I just want to give a shout out here. My first official piece of like solid gold jazz clothing here. OJT, Ken Laverne. I love it, man. Thank you very much. It's beautiful. And you need to get down to the Green Lady Lounge and catch these guys, because if you want proof that jazz is alive, and not only alive, but alive and well, it is alive and well at the Green Lady Lounge all the time. That place is rocking. You walk into that vampire lair, and you're in.
Yep.
So.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And if anybody calls and asks what radio station you listen to...
Listen,
I've got a few Chicago listeners that are going to say WLS, or WMAQ will make you rich.
That's right.
I think that stuff is gone.
Yeah, it is. Well, we can bring it back if you want to.
Well, if you want, but I don't have a Cadillac I can give away.
I don't either. But we are on KCXL, and I want to say KOJH 104.7 FM. Out of the beautiful Mutual Musicians Foundation. They're bringing jazz back in a big way here in Kansas City, just adding to the luster of a very rich and luminous scene.
And the Neon Beat just added a 12th station.
The finest show on the radio, kids. Right
on
there.
On the Native American Reservation in South Dakota, but, you know, we call that a rimshot station into Rapid City.
That's wonderful. I actually caught the Native American Festival down at the Nelson this weekend. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah?
Totally. Anyway,
there
you go. I guess that's all we got for right now.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you again. Glad you could tune in and say hello, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop. And remember, folks, enjoy the music, my friends.
That's right. Stay hydrated. Stay jazzy, kids.
Neon Jazz.